Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you today.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing very well, and as you know, we have a very special guest today.
Exactly.
And a good friend of liberty and a good friend of peace. So we're very interested in our guest, and I want to welcome our guest, who is a trends forecaster, well-known for his forecasting, Gerald Celente. Gerald, welcome to our program.
Wow, thank you for having me. Hello, Daniel. It's a real honor to be on with you and all that you do for peace and prosperity and the kindness, love, and generosity that you all give. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great. It's very nice for us to be working with you and you to be on our program. I'm going to start off with a general question because you do address general subjects, you know, economics and foreign policy and civil liberties, the whole works. And what I wanted to do is to find out a general, a big trend. You know, we have the immigration problem, which is major. We have financial instability around the world. We have this motivation for trade protectionism going on. But we also have something that the politicians and the financial markets talk about. Neither are overly serious, and that has to do with the deficit. And the deficits, you know, I can remember people being concerned about deficits back when Goldwater was around, and you think, deficits don't matter. They don't hurt. We just put them up. And now, you know, when they were $10 trillion, I thought we should get a little bit worried. They're $22 trillion now. But I haven't removed my concern about deficits. But tell me how you see this. What's going to be the tipping point here? Is that deficit important, or could we go to $44 trillion? I think the trend is pretty clear. It keeps getting bigger. But I'm looking for a signal for when. What is the limitation?
There is no limitation as long as you have a central bank that could keep printing up as much money as they want in any country near you. And so all they do is they keep creating this fiat currency that's not worth the digital paper it's not printed on. So it's one big Ponzi scheme. And you talked about the U.S. debt, and of course I've heard you say it before when you put in all the other debt that has to go into it with Social Security, et cetera. What is it, over about $220 trillion?
Right.
And then when you look at the global debt today, it's $250 trillion, and that ballooned since the panic of 08. So let's take a country outside the United States. How about Japan? What do they have? Their last quarter's GDP came in at -2.5%. They have negative interest rates. And you guys are great guys. I really like you. I got a 10-year bond for you. When you cash it in 10 years, I'm going to give you less money than you paid for it because I'm the Bank of Japan and you guys, you know, what are they doing? The Bank of Japan is $5 trillion in debt. And that's just the Bank of Japan. That's bigger than Japanese GDP. Then you take a trip to Europe and you mentioned Dr. Paul, there's a global slowdown. As we're speaking, the numbers just came out today and they're expecting virtually no growth at all next year in Europe. And what do they have in the ECB? Negative interest rates. So it's one big Ponzi scheme. You know, people say to me, you know, Celente, you got it wrong. Yeah, you called the panic of 08, but you said we were going to go into a severe depression around 2012. I said, you're right, I got it wrong. They never taught me about negative and zero interest rate policy and quantitative easing in economics 101 or graduate school. So they're making up all new rules. So as long as they keep the Ponzi scheme going, the people, what you, I've heard, you know better than I do, how much is the dollar devalued since the Federal Reserve came into existence in 1913, Dr. Paul?
It's up to about 98% since 1913.
So that's the answer to your question.
Yeah, there you go. And we still have to deal with, you know, the timing element because all Ponzi schemes eventually end. And I think you've touched on it. It's the loss of confidence. The ordinary sort of smaller Ponzi scheme, it's discovered, confidence is lost, and people walk away. But what you're suggesting is that there's another new gimmick and it perpetuates it. But I'm concerned about that day. And I think you agree there will be a day when the Ponzi scheme will become quite evident, and the dollar will be rejected, and that will be a very, very big event.
Yes, it will, and that's why, you know, I'm very bullish on gold, and I believe it's the only really safe haven asset to have. And I'm not giving financial advice, only speaking for myself. And again, I talked about Japan, we talked about Europe. How about China? You go back to about 20 years ago, China's total debt was about $900 billion. Today, over $30 trillion. How are they going to do it? So the dollar is only holding up because all the other ones are in so much trouble. But I definitely agree that the Ponzi scheme will at some point, it'll fail. But again, as we saw last week with the Fed Chair Powell coming out, and I guess Trump Powell, because Powell came out and said that they were going to be quite passive in raising interest rates this year. And if you go back to just September, Powell was saying they were going to raise them 3 to 4 times this year. And by the way, one of our top trend forecasts was an economic 9/11. And we were basing it on what Powell said, and that is rising interest rates, because it goes back to the beginning of your question. It's monetary methadone that they're forcing into the bull. It's fake money. It's another shot of heroin. So you got a guy like Powell that just came out and said, we just changed our mind. We're going to keep the meth going in.
Right. I think Daniel has a question for you.
Well, Gerald, it's great to have you back. You know, we had you back. We had you on in the beginning of 2018. It was one of our most popular shows. And so we love having you back to take a look at the new year. You founded Trends Journal was like 35, 37 years ago at least. Occupy Peace, you founded in 2015, doing some great work there. So you're very active. You're very engaged. You brought down the house at the Ron Paul Institute conference over the summer. People are still talking about it. It was such a great conference. So it's a real treat to talk to speak with you. I want to switch a little bit over to the foreign policy area. And I'm sure you've been watching, Gerald, but President Trump came out a week or so ago and said, what do we want to stick around in Syria for? It's just a bunch of sand. We got to go home. We got to go home right away within 30 days. And all of a sudden, the neocons grabbed the microphone and said, well, he didn't really mean that. He was, you know, we'll do it something different. He had lunch with poor Trump had lunch with Lindsey Graham and got read the Riot Act, as Dr. Paul mentioned in this week's column. So what's happening? What's going to happen? The brakes are on the troop movements. The neocons last week on the ropes. This week, they're back out fighting in the ring. What do you see as the trends in the neocons and in the U.S. troop withdrawals coming for the next year?
Well, the neocons are clearly in control. We just saw Bolton go to the Middle East as well, and Pompeo back there saying that we're there for our allies. Who are our allies? You know, this is America, the country that keeps invading foreign nations under the guise of bringing freedom and democracy. So our wonderful allies, of course, in the Middle East are the Saudis. Now that's a beautiful democracy for you, the king and the prince. And again, you know how he became a prince? The princess kissed the frog and the frog became a prince. You know? This is a gang that was created in the 1930s. And again, being protected by the United States and all of the other Arab League nations that have the same kind of dictatorships. And then, of course, there's Israel, the apartheid state, in what they're doing. These are our wonderful allies. So now there's talk about backtracking on Trump pulling out the troops. He's saying, I never really gave a date. And here's my feeling. I think that they have so much dirt on Trump that he has to back off at certain times. And that's what's going on now. And now we just heard from the Turkish president, Erdogan, saying that what Bolton said is BS. And, you know, the issue with the Kurds and how the United States is going to be protecting them. So to me, the only way this is going to change is if the people decide to make it happen. But I don't see that. Because we just had the midterm elections, and in the entire midterm elections, not one word about the wars going on ending them or peace, and to double up on that, in the Democratic Party, those so-called liberals just brought, what, about over a dozen people from the intelligence agencies and the military and the State Department into office as congresspeople.
Right. You know, Gerald, I think we're pretty close on understanding the problems and that this can't last, and there will be a major correction necessary. There will be some type of financial, political collapse. And I think you've written a little bit about that, what might come of this, and I want to see if you could expand on that. And I think you've indicated that maybe what will happen, that there will be smaller units. You know, local people will get together, and there will be survival, but it won't be the replacement by just saying, well, we're going to reform Washington, D.C., and that's it. But it may be necessary for resorting to the smaller government, and just for survival reasons, you know, the expanded family taking care of each other.
Well, again, you know, the system that we have now is clearly not working. And all you have to do is see what's going on around the world. Look at the Yellow Vest movement going on in France. What's the major issue? The people have no money. And the elites got all the dough. It kind of sounds like in America. But the difference here is that they pump it up and how wonderful it is. Look what just happened here in New York. The governor over here that just gave the richest man in the world, Bezos, $3 billion of our money that they call tax breaks to open up one of his headquarters across right from Wall Street on the other side of the East River. And so there's no uprising about that, very little, but I totally agree. I think we need an entirely new system because this one doesn't work. It's outdated. And the one that I propose is direct democracy, like they have in Switzerland, where the people vote. And the people, well, they only got 11 million people. So what? You vote on one issue. And they have cantons, like you're saying. They have local representation on local issues. We could do the same thing statewide. If you want to give Bezos, the richest man in the world, $3 billion of our money, these aren't tax breaks, we pay for them, we should vote on it. Well, how are you going to vote on it? Well, obviously, you can't use the antiquated system that showed itself once again in the midterm elections. If we could transfer trillions of dollars in milliseconds with blockchain technology, we could have blockchain voting and let we the people decide our own future. Oh, the people are too stupid. I know. Lindsey Graham's a lot smarter than I am. Nancy out of a mind Pelosi, Dianne not so Feinstein, little Chucky Schumer. Oh, yeah, they should speak for me because I'm so dumb.
Well, another thing that seems to be on the radar screen for this coming year, Gerald, is the whole Russiagate, Mueller investigation, you know, it's supposedly coming to a head, although they just got six more months on the grand jury. But everyone is expecting something to happen. Will the Democrats ride this Russia paranoia to the White House eventually? Or do you think there's going to be a real roadblock? What do you think may come out? Will we actually even see a report? What'll come out of it this year, do you think?
I don't think anything will come out of it showing Russian collusion. There's been no evidence at all, not one shred. Only indictments were nothing more than accusations. And I think this is going on. The Democrats are pushing it. And they, again, it became the big excuse as to why Hillary Clinton lost, rather than the fact that most people couldn't stand her and a popularity rating was one of the lowest of any presidential races. And the other fact is how many black people didn't vote in this past election because of what Bill Clinton did during his administration that put so many really innocent people in jail for three strikes, you're out, for minor crimes like getting high too many times with marijuana. So, and by the way, as many, quote, white folks voted for Trump as they did for Mitt Romney in 2012, and less women voted for Hillary Clinton than for Donald Trump. So they're using the Russian as an excuse as to why the people can't stand the two-party system, and Trump sold himself as a populist and a man that was going to drain the swamp But as we saw, he filled the swamp with more swamp members.
You know, Gerald, as you were describing what we might replace what we have with today is local government and local control. And I got to thinking, you know, that's not like a brand new idea. I think that's what the founders want us to have, you know, and the founder didn't plan on that. But obviously there were some imperfections because big government grew out of the Constitution, so there's limitation. But I still think there's a pretty good guide there by using the Constitution. But it's not going to happen with the people that we have in Washington or in our universities. That's where the problem is. And also you could apply this to the money issue. Well, you know, what are we going to do with the money? Well, we could look at the Constitution and look at the advice of the founders and told us what should be legal tender.
Yes, but they're not. And again, the Constitution is violated continually. We talk about the wars. It's an illegal war in Syria, just starting with Syria. It's illegal. If any private citizen breaks the law, we're prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But the politicians that are running the show, it's a different set of rules for them. So what we basically have, as I see all of these people in Congress that have been there most of their lives and never had a working job in their life, it's another form of a dictatorship. And whether it's at the head or the people running the whole organization, whether it's on the national level, the state level, or the local level, once they get in there, they don't want to leave. So we need a new system. And you mentioned the founding fathers. What's those great quotes by Jefferson and saying how many times there should be revolutions and overthrowing the systems? And one after another. So yeah, the founding fathers saw the weakness of it, but now we just have an entrenched system that doesn't want to let go of it, and it's up to the people. Could you imagine what's going on in France happening in America? Could you imagine the people out in the, oh, by the way, do you know why they all have yellow vests? The government forces everybody that buys an automobile to have those in the car. And these are the kind of things they're rebelling against, the government telling them what to do. But in this country, the people bow down and they don't have the fight. But again, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fire freedom in the minds of men and women. Samuel Adams.
Right.
Exactly.
I think we're going to finish up here soon, but Daniel has another
one. Yeah, real short. When you mentioned dictatorship, and that made me think about one of the trends from 2018, and I'm curious as to how you see it shaping up in 2019, and that has to do with social media censorship. You know, we heard so much about fake news. We've got to put out these fake bots. We've got to get rid of these fake bots. It turns out when you peel a few layers back, all the people that are sussing out the fake bots have government connections. The Hamilton 68, all of these organizations are funded by NATO, funded by governments. It seems like they put the screws on anyone, on any organization who's critical of our foreign policy. What do you think is going to happen with internet censorship, with censorship of independent alternative ideas in 2019? Are you feeling positive or are you feeling more concerned?
Well, it's one of our top trends for 2019, censorship. And it's going to get much worse. And it's going global. They're going to do everything they can to shut down free speech. And when you mentioned all of the groups that are really responsible for putting out this information that are nothing more than part of the deep state and having their connections to them. And then we have, let's for Google. I mean, I forgot that one. People forget how active Google was in the algorithms and helping Hillary Clinton's campaign. I mean, it was a fact. Schmidt was there. He was part of the whole thing, the former CEO. So they're going to keep doing more and more to rob us of our freedom and get their message through and close down everybody else's.
You know, I want to make a comment about how we should hold government responsible, and they're not responsible, and get you to make at least a brief comment on this. The one thing, the worst crime right now that seems to be committed by the people is somebody that might have lied to the government. You know, even they trick, they do anything, they play nasty tricks, and they, oh, we got you, you know. We hear this all the time. And we shouldn't lie to our governments, but I think they're upset. obsessed with this, but I'm just wondering if what I'd like to suggest is that if we're not allied to the government, what would it be like, what kind of a society would we have if the government was never allowed to lie to us?
Well, you know, it would be a government of morality, and that's what's missing. Without morality, you can't create beauty and joy and creativity. And to let that happen, again, let's go back to Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. How come nobody's been brought up on criminal charges? We knew the lies. Many people were talking about them. And one after another, they lie every day. They lie to the people. All they do, you know, adults call what the politicians get from the corporations bribes and payoffs. Adults call it campaign contributions. And so they're lying to us to fill their pockets and to fill their needs. They don't have concern about us. As I mentioned when I had the honor to be at your Peace and Prosperity Conference, I tell people to Google up the definition of politician. And it's right there. A person that's manipulative and devious, typically to gain advancement within an organization. So who's your favorite manipulative and devious Democrat and Republican?
We have a few. Yeah, well, Gerald, I want to go ahead and close out and thank you very much for being with us. I hope we can get you to one of our conferences again. Appreciate very much you being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Gerald. And remember, we'll put it up in the description, Occupy Peace, Trends Journal. Highly encourage our viewers to get involved in what Gerald is doing.
Thank you so much. And again, this is going to be a rocky road ahead, so people should tune into your show and stay ahead of the news, because they're going to need some guidance to get through this one.
There you go. And I want to thank our viewers for tuning in today, and please return to the Liberty Report soon.